Look at 8 keys for defending Genesis as true history and science. And this is the passion that Pastor Phil grew up under in our home. And we're going to teach the new face that refutes the fact of evolution and reveals the acts of the Creator. About 3 years ago, I did a Sunday school presentation on what we were doing in the Philippines, and we've revised it quite a bit since then. So we're going to go on and look at some of our revisions. And the verse that's so important here, young people, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So I'm going to help you find some answers in the Word of God tonight about this very critical issue. As you go through school, and especially as you go to college, you're going to find, even if you attend a Christian college, there's only about 5 or 6 Christian colleges that I know of nationally which emphasize the important historical foundations in the book of Genesis. And so as a result of that, many young people, when they go to college, they lose their faith. And as I did, I want to give my personal testimony tonight, the evolution of this agnostic evolutionist. Does he look familiar? Well, how about this? Into a creationist. And evolution is a slow, gradual process into something better. And so I'm going to share how that happened. As I grew up, I actually believed the Bible. I had influences in my life. I had a grandfather who was a missionary to Africa. And I read his memoirs, and I experienced in his memoirs the great power and glory of God. We had a babysitter who came and taught me from my childhood Bible, which I don't have anymore, but she started in Genesis 1, and she marked up and she went through each of the days of creation. So I want to get on the same page together, and rather than reading the whole thing, I'm going to teach you what happened in song. This song is by Buddy Davis of Answers in Genesis Ministry. You notice there on day one, just read it with me. What happened on day one? God created, let's go back here. God created the earth, space, time, and light. Day two, He created what? Atmosphere. Day three, He created the dry land and plants. Day four, the sun, moon, and stars. Day five, sea creatures and birds. On day six, okay, so if God created everything in 6 days, when did God create dinosaurs? Young people. Day six, hey boy, you're sharp. Okay, so here's how it goes. On day one, God's own Son created the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light, and it was done. That's what happened on day one. It was done. Day one. It's a simple tune, sing along now. On day two, out of the ocean blue, God made the atmosphere. He divided the waters, put them under and above, and God did it with love. It's true. Day two. On day three, out of the sea, the dry land appeared. God created plants, the flowers and the trees. That's what happened on day three. Don't you see? Day three. Then on day four, well, there's still more. God put the stars up in the sky. He made the greater light to rule over the day, the lesser light to rule the night. I'm sure. Day four. On day five, well, something is alive in the air and the sea. God made the fish to swim and the birds to fly. That's what happened on day five. Something is alive. Day five. Then on day six, the creatures that God mixed, the dinosaurs and creeping things, God made the beast of the field and cattle of the land. In His own image, God made man to exist. Day 6. Then on day 7, a blessing was given. God said that what He made was very good. It only took 6 days to make the earth and heaven. And then God rested on day 7. Okay, thank you. Now, after that childhood experience and attending church regularly, but never hearing the gospel except once when a missionary preached in my church, I didn't go to a church like this one. The gospel was not preached. I went to college and I was introduced to evolution. And I wrote this paper my first year. My evolution thinking during college was beginning to evolve. I wrote this paper, Primate Social Behavior and Preconditions for Hominid. That means human evolution from the apes. And as I tried to figure out how millions and millions of years could create something like this, an ape man, I looked at all the research. This picture is, we'll see later, anyway. I couldn't find any evidence for this. And so my conclusion was, having read the Bible as a child, that it must be God's great plan, or the course of God's plan of evolution. And that's, as I found, what most Christians around the world believe if they don't really have a foundation in Genesis. God used evolution to create the world. But then I did a second research paper, which most Christians don't go as far as this. I decided to fit evolution into Genesis chapter 1. And here's what I found out. The evolution, or the creation order, is that on day 1, God started with the earth and all out of water. But evolution starts with a big bang billions of years ago. Whoops. Was it a big bang or was it a big splash? Secondly, the water was before the land, whereas in evolution order, the land formed first. Planets cooled and then water formed. Whoops. Day 3, the first life was on dry land. The plants on the land sprang up, whereas in evolution, life had to form in some kind of primordial goo and over millions of years. Whoops. On day 4, I noticed that the sun, moon, and stars formed after the earth. The earth first, and then day 4. There was light from the beginning, and plants were growing from that light. The light was from God, not from the sun. Evolution requires that the stars and galaxies formed first and slowly like that. Oops. Day 5, birds before dinosaurs. I found out that evolutionists were teaching that dinosaurs became birds. Oops, just the opposite. Lastly, I saw that man was created in God's image from the dust, and I knew that, but I kept looking through to find some evidence. There was nothing in the Bible that allowed for man to be made from an animal likeness, especially not a monkey. And we're going to look at those things, but 10 times in the book of Genesis, I noticed it said every single thing was created according to its own kind. And God was made in man's image. So what I did was I began to swallow the theory of evolution of millions of years of slow, gradual processes, and I couldn't fit it into the Bible of just a few thousands of years in 6 days. And what I did was I took my childhood Bible and I put it in the storeroom of my fraternity house, that's first year of college, and I never read it again. Years later, we went back to that fraternity house. It wasn't there anymore. And so I don't know what happened. But evolution opposes what the Bible teaches about origins, and especially when it comes to the worldwide flood, which is critical, was critical in understanding the fossils and the earth before Darwin came along. And we'll see how I changed my thinking on that. I did pray in 1969 for a wife. I was in the Philippines. I was I'd served there for 2 years in science teacher training. In 1969, I said, God, I need something, some guidance in my life. Give me a wife. And the next day, I met Donna. And is she coming? I think she might be here later. But anyway, she's my helpmeet. Then, after the Peace Corps, we went back in upstate New York. And in 1973, I was teaching evolution, and I showed a movie about my favorite paleontologist who was looking for human fossils, and all he could find were things that didn't fit. And he finally said, what we do have doesn't match our theory, and I don't know how to replace it. A young lady came up to me after I showed that movie, 12-year-old Teresa Brunk, 7th grade, said, "Mr. Layton, you don't have to believe in evolution." I was just shocked. I said, "I suppose you're one of those nuts who believes in God created everything in 7 days." And she said, "No, Mr. Layton, it only took 6 days." And so I felt a little ashamed, as I knew that. Yeah, it took 6 days. Well, she gave me a book that really helped. Dr. Duane T. Gish, a PhD scientist, had written this book, Evolution, the Fossils Say No. And she explained to me that even at that time, there are already thousands of reputable scientists around the world who do not teach evolution, who believe the alternative is creation science, a better alternative. I went home and I devoured this book. And I want you to know this was the missing link in my faith. As I found out, there is no evidence, as I suspected when I did that paper on human evolution, there is no evidence for human evolution. It's just contrived in the mind of evolutionists, and they put it into textbooks to make it sound like it really happened. And I fell on my knees when I realized that my theory was boundless, and I put my arms in the... I put my faith in the Savior, and I let Him come into my life and my heart. Jesus Christ, the Creator. I called out to Him and I said, "I believe that You are the Creator," and He saved me right then. Years later, we went back, Don and I, and we have planted churches. We worked many years, and then in the last 11 years, we've been full-time doing what we love to do. Ever since we got saved through creation science, taking creation science to others and training creation evangelists around the world to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, and introducing the Savior by refuting evolution. And I'm going to put you in the place of these students tonight. And you're going to be my class like we have in the Philippines. The weapons that we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds, arguments, and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So far, everything I have told you in the Bible verses are what we teach in the public schools and universities in the Philippines, and we've even taught this in some Muslim countries and Hindu countries. There are reasons to believe the Bible from the very first verse, because the Bible is the only history book of the universe which starts in the beginning. And it's the only one written by the only person who was there in the beginning and who knows all things because he's omniscient. He can do all things because he's all powerful. And he wrote it down in a book and he tells us exactly what he did. You know, there's no other science textbook, there's no other history textbook like that. It's the only eyewitness account of creation, the only eyewitness account. Everything else is just ideas of fallible men. It's scientifically and historically accurate. I began looking for errors in the Bible back then. I have never found one. It has 66 books with 40 writers over 1,200 years with a unified theme, and that theme is that the Creator became our Savior and is coming again to restore His creation. Science textbooks change every year, but God's Word never changes. Amen? And praise God for that. So it's a better textbook. It doesn't tell us everything, but it's the foundations in science and history, and that's what we're going to look at here. And another song, God is the Author of Creation, also by my friend Buddy Davis. And I hope you can learn this one and sing with me. To some it is a problem, it's no mystery to me. The beauty of this planet, how its order came to be. I don't believe it came by chance within 5 billion years. but only by the hand of God, created in His care. 'Cause God's the author of creation, He's the Lord that I serve, He's the master designer of the stars and of the earth. I believe it's time we give our science back to Him. Confess the fact that He is God and we are mortal men. Now see if you can sing along. The Bible says in Genesis that God created all, but some tell our children that the Bible is wrong. They dig into the past and try to find the missing link, but they've never found a single bone that proves the way they think. 'Cause God's the author of creation, He's the Lord that I serve, He's the master designer of the stars and of the earth. I believe it's time we give our science back to Him. Confess the fact that He is God and we are mortal men. From the sun that's in the morning to the moon that's in the night, the universe displays the complexities of life. The signature of God is on the blueprint of the land. Nature demands and testifies the glory be to Him. 'Cause God's the author of creation, He's the Lord that I serve, He's the master designer of the stars and of the earth. Everybody sing. I believe it's time we give our science back to Him. Confess the fact that He is God and we are mortal men. I believe it's time we give our science back to Him. Confess the fact that He is God and we are mortal men. Amen. All right, the face that refutes evolution. And this is the picture I've used. This is actually a computerized, it disappeared. It's a computerized morph of two photographs of a real ape, and a man put together in a computer program to come out with what an ape man might look like, similar to what I know in the Philippines. I don't know if it's here, but in the malls they have these photo booths where a couple can go if they want to know what their child will look like. They get each of their picture taken, and then it morphs them into a baby picture. And so, but this isn't a baby. This is a full-grown supposed ape man. It's the only ape man picture that we have, because the new face that refutes the fact of evolution also reveals the acts of the Creator. And this new face I have been looking for. When I was in college, my graduate year back in 1967, I saw a picture similar to this that I still can't find on the web anywhere, from Newsweek and Time magazine. But this one is 1988, and it was a review of that issue. And we're going to look at that just a little bit later. It's the search for Adam and Eve, as you see at the bottom. That was the cover title of this magazine. Does anybody have this magazine? Nope. I'm looking for it to get a better quality picture, get the real cover. But the letters of faith show that the ape man never existed, but this woman really did. And her husband, they say, they traced her genetically and they back to from today through women's DNA, and they say that her husband was genetically identical to her in order to have all the kinds of people that we see around the world today. Well, the F stands for fossils, and the fossils are really from a worldwide flood, not millions and billions of years of slow burial. And this flood was only about 4,500 years ago, and that sort of dates the earth for Christians, or should. Ape men, No fossil evidence, as I discovered clear back when I was in college, and that hasn't changed. And secondly, Adam was made in God's image. The letter C is for change. And change in biology, we find, is only within kinds, as it states clearly 10 times in Genesis chapter 1. And the complexity of life is far beyond what scientists could possibly reproduce. And so God is the Creator is far beyond modern science in His engineering complexity. The evidence then is for a young earth and 6 literal days. And so we'll look at these one at a time. First of all, with the fossils from a worldwide flood only 4,500 years ago. And the does everybody have a handout? So the first on the handout is the fossils from a worldwide flood in Genesis 7, verse 19, and then verse 23. All the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. Everything on the face of the earth was wiped out. So that's the foundation, should be the foundation for understanding the fossil layers around the earth. Genesis is foundational to geology and looking for oil and those kinds of things. Paleontology, looking, explaining when we find bones around the world, dinosaur bones or human bones or whatever. And then theories of canyon formation like Mount St. Helens. How did that huge Engineers Canyon that's 1/40th the size of the Grand Canyon form just overnight? Is it possible that the Grand Canyon also could have formed overnight or in a very short time? Now, what are fossils and how did they form? Here's a picture of many fossils. These are the most typical sea specimens, ocean bottom shells, which apparently died quickly and were buried all over the world. We find the definition for fossil is the remains of or trace of a once living thing preserved by natural processes, most often by rapid deep burial in water-laid sediments. Now, most evolution books will leave off that last part, but that's how we find. You can find fossils. People have brought me fossils from the seashore. A person gave me a fossil of a fence post that was in a flood, and the top part was not fossilized. The underwater part, or in the mud part, was. They are usually found in widespread mass burials, as you see right here. And dinosaurs are buried all over the world in these typical layers where they've just been heaped in contorted ways, body positions. But don't fossils take millions of years to form? Well, here's a petrified bowler's hat. No, did that take millions of years? No, it didn't. And here's a fish eating another fish. Fossils had to form quickly in order to have all of this detail in them. And so how do evolutionists then date the fossils in millions of years? Well, a man before Charles Darwin, a scientist by the name of Lyell, came up with this idea that canyons of the world, the rock layers that you see are like the growth rings of a tree. So let's just count up. Look, there's so many rings. In fact, in some places like the Grand Canyon, you can come up with millions of layers of dirt there. He said, well, obviously, just like a tree, the earth has to be millions of years old if these layers have been laid down one at a time. And there's fossils in different layers. But Darwin's deepest misgiving about his theory was the problem of the missing links. As you see all the supposed transition from simple at the bottom to more complex up above. First of all, the things at the bottom are extremely complex to start with. Every kind of dinosaur is extremely complex when they appear in this. And there are missing links. Darwin said, if my theory be true, then numberless intermediate varieties must assuredly have existed. But in the time since his death, not a single one at his death. None was found and none have been found. They're all still missing links. So wanted, dead or alive, a fishibian, a fish turning in, you know, into a land animal. There are some fish that have what look like feet and different things, but they are not in any kind of progression. They're just perfectly suited for whatever. An amphetile, a snake, growing legs, or a rep bird, dinosaur becoming a bird. None of those have been found. Two very different interpretations then of the fossil record. The evolutionist says that these sediment layers formed slowly over a long period of time, and the millions of layers then represent or are evidence for millions of years. So, that's where that comes from. It doesn't come from radiometric dating or carbon dating or anything. This was a theory long before all of that, before Darwin. The creationist has always believed that the sediment layers from a single came from a single worldwide flood about 4,400 or 4,500 years ago, give or take 1,000 in there somewhere. The recent catastrophes produced this kind of layering in ours, like Mount St. Helens and other places around the world. So 2 Peter 3:6, read that verse with me together. Wherefore, whereby the world that was then being overflowed with water perished. And the worldwide flood of Noah's day could have laid down most of the earth's fossil bearing rock layers. There has been more recent fossil layers laid down, like after local floods and whatnot. Whereas the world at that time was destroyed, like these dinosaurs in absolute terror as tsunamis swept over the earth. And I want to look at a video clip from the Creation Museum showing this. And we see here the inside of the ark as the door closes. And what the tectonic theory explains is that all around the world, these cracks opened up and tsunamis formed, the fountains of the great deep bursting forth with water, but also lava. And then worldwide tsunamis going toward the one supercontinent, which is not Pangaea, if you're familiar with this. It was called Rodinia. Scientists have mapped this out from changes in the magnetic field of the Earth. But these huge waves came to destroy destroy all living things on this land. And people had been warned for 100 years. But just going on in their usual practices, as the wall of water came nearer. And somewhere in the high mountains there, Noah had been instructed to build an ark of safety, to bring two of every kind of creature. Oftentimes we have this idea of just a lot of rain, but the flood starts with the breaking open of the floodgates or the fountains of the great deep and going beyond that. Whew. So the flood is only 4,500 years ago, not millions of years ago. Here's some verses. You can read it with me. Genesis 5, 3-6 together. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son, and he named him Seth. Verse 6, when Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Now, Enoch is different from Enosh. We see several verses in there. And it says in Enoch was this, in Jude 14, Enoch was the seventh from Adam. So here is a New Testament writer confirming, as Pastor Phil pointed out, that this is an actual chronology. And then Enoch was the son of Methuselah, the oldest man who ever lived. And when Methuselah died, the year that he died, he was a godly man. And when he died and was buried or whatever, then the flood, then the fountains of the deep opened up and the flood began. How old is the earth according to the Bible? And when was the flood? Well, we can see where the flood was. It was on this chart. It's kind of small there, but it says it was 656 years after creation. That's about 4,500 years ago. And so that's as far as we're going to go. We're going to look at this chart a little bit later. But let's think, how long ago did dinosaurs live then? Were they 65 million years ago? No. According to the Bible, it's very clear that people and dinosaurs lived together. It's not like the evolution timeline where they were at the end of time, but rather thousands of years ago at the beginning of time. God created everything 6,000 years ago, 4,000, and these dinosaurs grew and grew until there were most of them couldn't fit on Noah's ark, and God instructed Noah to bring two of every dinosaur. There's about 40 kinds of dinosaurs, so about 80 on the flood are on the ark, and a few dinosaur fossils have been found that must have lived after the flood. They got smaller. And then Jesus 2,000 years ago, and we're waiting for His return, aren't we? Amen? So, did Adam and Eve see dinosaurs in the Garden of Eden? Well, they had to. So, let's go on to the next point. Fossils from a worldwide flood only 4,500 years ago, and A for ape men, no fossil evidence for ape men, and Adam was made in God's image. So, let's look at the verses there. What about ape men? What does the Bible say? Genesis 1:24, read it with me. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. So that means like monkeys. Now, would ape men be wild animals? No. Would they be people? No. So how do you get an ape man? The answer is, okay. Has man really emerged from this kind of a continuous process? And the answer, science has emphatically said no, and yet it's always in the textbooks that this is just a fact, because they just haven't found the fossils yet. See, no fossils have been found yet. That's what Time magazine said clear back, I think this was 1999, and it hasn't improved. You hear about Artie and you hear about Lucy and all these things, but they always turn out to be Artie was a lemur and Lucy was a chimpanzee. They're not missing links. There are no fossils found. They just publish them and try to make it famous. But scientists believe, what does this mean? There are no fossil evidences, and so this is a belief. It's a religious system. That's what evolution is. It's a false religion of our day. And so young people were in a battle. This is not just a battle of the mind, it's a battle of the spirit. Mary Leakey, my favorite paleontologist, has said all of those trees of life with our ancestors, that's a lot of nonsense. They don't exist. And, oh, and I want to show you what this really shows here. From goo to you by way of the zoo. That's what evolution charts show, from goo to you by way of the zoo. And it's a lot of nonsense, according to this scientist, that no. And so, number four here in the list of eight, Adam and Eve were made in whose image? God's image, not in the image of an ape. Genesis 1:26, together. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the creatures. So, man is different, and man is given some of God's responsibility to take care of the planet. Genesis is foundational to anthropology, that's the study of man, to social studies, and to medical sciences. And we've been showing this presentation more and more in medical schools and nursing schools overseas. For that reason. Now, this article, I praise God that I searched and searched. I finally found this more recent article, just 1988, a controversial theory tracing back to our roots. So they went back to 1967 and they did some research. But what this was that scientists did a sampling of DNA. I think we all know that that's the code of life. And the woman's DNA has a memory of all the mutations that humans and animals also work the same way, that humans have accumulated since Eve. And so they took 140 samples. They had to ask women all around the world to pledge to give up their placenta after they gave birth. And then they took the DNA from that material And they found the mutations and they traced it back to Mesopotamia a few thousand years ago. Human line is traced back, not to Africa, but there. And they come up with this idea that there was a Noah's Ark. They just used biblical terms, but these are scientists trying to prove something to evolutionists. And so here's the picture. It was on the full picture of what was on Newsweek magazine. And there you see the woman and man. They're not black people out of Africa. They're middle brown. They have kinky hair. These are the characteristics, as they've determined, of a couple who would have to be genetically exactly the same, no mutations at all, and they would have in themselves the seed of every human being who would ever live. They would have black children, they would have medium brown, they would have white, they would have oriental features, everything you can imagine. And if they had 65 kids in the 900 or so years that they were married, they would have kids that looked like the whole world. Wow. That's a little different than what we learn in science class usually. So the Creator has said, Genesis 1:27, let's read this together. So God created man in His own image, in His own likeness, in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. So, fossils from a worldwide flood only 4,500 years ago, ape men, no fossil evidence, Adam made in God's image, and change then is only within kinds, and there's such a complexity of life and the universe that can't be explained by evolution science. So first of all, variation, Genesis 1:21, together, a very simple verse. So God created everything that moves according to their kind. And that phrase is repeated. He talks about the plants and animals, and He created them according to their kind. And then Genesis is foundational to biology, to genetics, to stem cell and cloning research. Now, what the president did was to clamp down on adult stem cell research. There's been close to 80 or 90 great medical breakthroughs in adult stem cells, and none from embryonic stem cells. And the president said, let's put more money into the embryonic and get rid of, let's not give any money to the adult stem cells. So there's only been about 80 discoveries. Well, since then, there's been zero. It's down to zero. Microevolution, variation, and natural selection. These are pictures that you actually find in evolution books explaining natural selection, evolution. What do you see? Lots of bugs. This is evolution, folks. That's the best they can come up with. Bugs change dots. Or this one, dogs change. Wow, what do they change into? Other different dogs. And that's what it says in the textbook, and we've added after their kinds down at the bottom. So this is evolution at its very best. Natural selection, though, is a dead-end process. And all scientists, creation scientists, believe in natural selection, but it doesn't have to do with evolution. It doesn't change much of anything. It's a dead-end process within each kind of species to adapt the species to changes that are anticipated in the genes are going to happen in way down the road. So animal breeding. Well, you got this Great Dane and you want to change it into a Chihuahua. God made it possible in the genes. All dogs have the same DNA except the genetic information for the new breed is already present in the Great Dane, but when you breed the animals, you get rid of certain characteristics, and so you lose information that's unattainable again. It's lost forever until you breed the Chihuahua with a Great Dane or something else, and you don't want to do that, maybe something in between. Chihuahuas cannot produce Great Danes by themselves. It's a long, slow process of breeding. It has to be done intelligently. Actual family trees show fixity of species and limited variation pre-programmed in the genes of every animal. So this is a pre-programmed thing. It has nothing to do with evolution. It is not random chance. Mutations have nothing to do with evolution. Every mutation is damaging except for, well, they're all damaging, but occasionally you have something beneficial like moths on an island that lose their ability to fly. Well, then they don't blow away in the big winds. But, you know, what if the winds stop? The bugs can't fly very well. It's not good. Macroevolution is there again from goo to you according to the zoo. And then complexity, number 6, of life and space and the vastness. Let's read Genesis 1, 12 and 16 together. Then the Lord said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees that bear fruit with seed in it according to the various kinds." Now, and then verse 16, He made the stars also. We'll look at that in just a minute. But here is, this answers the question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Yeah. Actually, the best answer would be both, because the chicken came with the egg already in it, probably ready to lay that day. The fruit was ready to eat. Probably the eggs were just about ready to hatch too. He made the stars also. It's kind of like just an add-on idea. Intelligent design theory, microbiologist Michael Behe said that Darwin never saw the intricate, irreducible complexity within the simple cell. It's like a city with food storage, shipping and receiving, power plants, protein factories, fuel refinery. Let's look inside. Who's the designer of this? Here's a Harvard video. We'll just look at a little bit of this because it's quite long, and I have 5 minutes. But here it gives you an idea of all the incredible machinery and things going on inside the cell at the submicroscopic, the electron microscope level. And this is just so incredible. And I used to know the names of most of these things. See the little platform moving along and little tractors, and here's a tractor doing something. These are smaller than you can see with a regular microscope. And then the DNA synthesis, I just want to show how that works. And the machinery for this is too small for them even to imagine when it comes to DNA synthesis. These are the strands of, I can't remember. Here's the DNA synthesis and RNA going on. And there's no way to figure out what the little machines are. They're too small that do all this, except there are these things that do the cutting and like that. So anyway, if you want to see the rest of that, you can ask me for the video. O Lord, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works. Amen? And Philip Johnson of Berkeley says, if Darwin's theory were brought into the courtroom today, it would be thrown out for lack of evidence. Amen? And so lastly, the evidence is for a young earth and 6 literal days. So save the best for last. Thus the together, Genesis 2, 1 and 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the 7th day, God had finished His work, which He had done. So that makes it pretty clear. Genesis is foundational to astronomy, radiometric dating, and global warming research. So evidence for a young earth, just quickly, there's not enough salt and there's not enough sediment in the ocean for any more than just a few thousand years. Human population, we can't go back then more than just a few thousand years, not millions of years. The tallest trees in the world, 4,000 years old, that have been cut down and the rings counted. So what happened a little more than 4,000 years ago? Worldwide flood. And the oldest tree on record is a bristlecone pine that was counted with 4,400 rings. Well, figure that one out. The Great Barrier Reef off Australia was ring dated at 3,000 years old. So these are not things that are millions of years old. And most exciting to me, Mary Schweitzer in 1997 discovered actual blood cells inside bones of a dinosaur, and the bones weren't even fossilized. They were just frozen, or they were in a cold place. And these cells were like in cold storage. And then the maximum age she speculated would be 10,000 years, but something's wrong with our dating system, she said. And then, more recently, 2005, she found this stuff that looks like something you'd buy in the grocery store. meat with blood cells that are squishy in squishy veins that can be moved around. So, what do we have? We have something of recent burial. And this, ladies and gentlemen, these were found inside fossilized bones, which were dated by evolutionists as 65 million years old. And all scientists know that blood cells and meat doesn't last that long in a freezer or anywhere. And so this must be very recent or a very recent origin in the Americas, at least not more than 4,500 years ago. And Jude 3 says, I felt I had to write and urge you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. And that's what I've done tonight. Do we have to believe in six literal days just quickly? Yes, because it's a historical account. It's not just a story. And when Moses used this word yom, directed by God, it can have different meanings like in English, but when it has markers, the evening, morning, first day, second day, and up to sixth day, it means 24 hours, and that's the only meaning. Genesis 1:5, God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, one day. And so that always means that it's a literal 24-hour day. So it's 24 hours if yom is defined literally as in verse 5, with numerical adjectives, with the evening and the morning, and in verse 14, read this with me, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And then it's written by God's own finger. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So how old is the earth then, if it was 6 days of creation? We see from Adam up till now, with the genealogies unbroken, we have 4,000 years from Adam to Jesus. We have 2,000 years from Jesus to now. So how old is the earth? Very simple. How old is the universe and those stars that are billions of light years away? 6,000 years. So God has done something in the submicroscopic world, the incredible complexity, and the same with the universe. It's not billions and millions of years old. It's just that God made it that way, and He is so expansive. So carbon dating, no. Carbon dating only dates in thousands of years with non-fossilized. So why do evolutionists reject young Earth? Because evolution requires millions of years, and if the Earth is only thousands of years, there's not enough time. So I'll just... Dear friends, Jude says, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last days, times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly lusts. And who was that apostle? 2 Peter 3:3. First of all, you must understand that at the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil lusts, but they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And so, by these waters, the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. But the same word tells us that the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment of ungodly men and destruction. So, this is the message. The creation message points to a severe judgment in the future. And what's God going to do when He melts all that down? He's going to make a new heavens and a new earth for us to enjoy forever. So let's trust in this God. And keep that sheet that you got. And let's just pray. I want to close with a benediction from... Whoops. Oh, not sure I have it. Okay, I'll just pray. Yes. Okay. Heavenly Father, I do thank You and praise You for Your creation and making it so clear. It's so clear, it's unmistakable. And so I just pray for these young people that they wouldn't be like me when I struggled with modern science seeming to refute the Bible. I put my Bible away. I pray that You would help them to learn these facts and to see that your word is consistent with all of nature and all of real science and true history. Well, thank you, and I pray for your blessing. I pray that if there are any young people or older people who have not trusted in Jesus Christ as the Creator of the universe, as their Lord, whom we must all submit to and bend our knees to, I pray that you would bring them to that decision, even tonight with their counselors and youth workers. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Yeah.
You said that
Okay.
You said that there was a girl and that one class that came up. Uh-huh. Do you think she was like the person who influenced you to come in?
That was the main thing. Yeah. That was the main thing. There were lots of other influences, but it takes, you know, it's the word comes by hearing and hearing
by the word of God. Yeah.
And so yeah.
And I have one more question.
Uh-huh.
I really love dinosaurs and mm-hmm. I'm kind of into that kind of stuff. And do you think that it was dinosaurs on the ark instead of dinosaur eggs? I have heard about dinosaur eggs put on the ark instead of dinosaurs. It doesn't matter,
the problem with that is that God told Noah, or God sent two of every air-breathing animal to Noah. And they went on. Yeah. I think somebody came up with that as a suggestion because dinosaurs are so big, but dinosaurs are all, the ones that we find that are so big weren't on the ark because they're too big. But they had growing stages where they were big and small enough to fit through the door. So each class, there are about 40 different kinds, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay, God bless. What's your name?
I'm Haley Schaefer.
Yeah, Haley Schaefer, and you're?
Danielle Viewer.